This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4CBS. 4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can. Fired up to be here on a Wednesday, but it's really a football Friday, because we are off tomorrow for Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all. And then we also get the company day on Friday for Thanksgiving as well. So we will not be here Thursday and Friday. And we'll be back on the Zach Gelb Show on Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Hickey, are you here on Friday? Like, what's your schedule? I know I won't be here Thursday, Friday. And I know you won't be here Thursday. What's the deal with Friday? Are you filling in? Are you producing? Give me your schedule.
Both. I will be manning the ship for the Zach Gelb Show as Chris Russell will fill in, and then I'll do my normal show 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern.
What is this now? Free promotion?
On Saturday morning.
I wasn't asking about your normal hot take hickey hour show that happens on CBS Sports Radio from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, and the hot take hickey hour could always be heard right at 4 a.m. Eastern time, or at least that's when I pretend to think that's when all the hot takes do come from one hot take hickey. By the way, producing the extravaganza tonight is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
And that man, Leroy Horde, the former NFL running back, did play at Michigan, is going to join us at the top of the hour. And we're going to have a whole lot of fun today. So a lot of college football to preview for this weekend. But we got to start in the NFL. And Hickey, you know me pretty well, working together for the last 4 or 5 years on this show full time for pretty much the last 2 years. I'm a man of accountability. When you do something that is right, I'm the first person to say, celebrate it, throw it in everyone's face, and let everyone know that you are right. But when you're in the wrong, you need to have that same energy and simply just say, I got it wrong, I'm sorry, I need to do better. Zach Wilson, in his young NFL career, does not get that yet. And it's baffling to me how someone that was the number two overall pick in the draft and is now in a New York media market didn't understand that he was horrible on Sunday up against the Patriots. And it's one thing to have a bad game. Everyone has bad games. But then afterwards, you're not an offensive lineman. You're not a running back. You're not a wide receiver. You're not a defensive end, a linebacker, a cornerback, a kicker, or a punter. You are the face of the franchise. You as a franchise quarterback are supposed to be the leader of the team. And when you get the simple question of, do you feel like you let the defense down who held the Patriots at 3 points, you just said no. That comes off, whether you meant it or not, as someone that is arrogant, someone that just doesn't get it, and someone that is not a leader and takes zero accountability. It is simple. I'll give you free PR advice, Zach Wilson. All you needed to do afterwards when you were asked that question, do you feel like you left the defense down? All you needed to say was, absolutely, I strive to be great. Today I was not great. It will not happen again. And I need to be better for the guys on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball that worked their ass off to get wins. And we've done a good job winning games this year, but we blew an opportunity today, and that one's on me. If he would have done that, I think a lot of people would have ignored the poor play, and you would still realize he didn't step up, he didn't deliver, and there's still questions if he could be the guy, but he would have been starting this week. Because the reason now why he's benched is because he didn't take that accountability, and you risk losing the locker room. Because if I'm a defensive player in that locker room, and you know who was the weakest link on Sunday, and that guy's supposed to be the leader of the team, supposed to be a leader of men, and he doesn't come out and say that he felt like he let the defense down or he feels like he did nothing wrong, that just screams to me as someone that I would be annoyed at and I would be extremely agitated at. And that is what Zach Wilson did in the aftermath of the Sunday loss. He started to lose the locker room. Because I guarantee you, even before Sunday, with the poor play that he's been a part of this year, there were probably some in that locker room that already started to think just naturally, maybe he isn't the guy. Maybe he isn't the number two overall pick that a lot of people thought he was going to be out of BYU. And there's only so much you could tolerate. There's only so much bad football you could tolerate. But then when you make yourself unlikable, and when you don't hold yourself accountable and you think your you-know-what doesn't stink, that's when you're going to have a lot of guys expedite this process of giving up on Zach Wilson. Now, to the decision today by Robert Saleh, I will be the first one to say I was surprised by the move. Because I thought when earlier in the week on Monday, Robert Saleh came out and elected not to name a starting quarterback for Sunday, I thought he was sending a message. And I thought that message was to kind of wake up Zach Wilson, kind of rattle him a little bit, make him understand and be cognizant that you got to take accountability, have him be a little bit afraid, apprehensive, shaking his boots a little bit, show him, I'm the head coach, I'm the boss here, you have to admit you're wrong, you need to say what you did was wrong, all that. That's what I thought it was, but knowing that he's a second overall pick, knowing that they still think he may be the guy and they still have to give him that opportunity, I believe the perfect bounce back spot was up against the Bears this weekend, which I don't know if Justin Fields is going to play or not. And we know Justin Fields has been tremendous on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively, that Bears defense has been garbage, especially once they traded away Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn. So you could have got the best of both worlds, I thought. That was the approach by Robert Saleh, that in one part, you could rattle Zach Wilson a little bit, and in the other, you could try to end the week out on a positive note where he plays well and learns a lesson. But Robert Saleh said, not so fast, my friend. He's not even going to be active on Sunday. And we're going to Mike White, and Mike White's going to be QB1 for this weekend up against the Bears. And it shows me two things. One, even though the Jets are 6-4 and they've had two bad losses to the Patriots, these aren't the same old Jets. Because the same old Jets would allow Zach Wilson to walk all over them and they would end up getting it wrong. Robert Saleh has changed the culture of the Jets and he understands that locker room. And that locker room, he knows, is annoyed at the quarterback. And he's fearing losing the locker room. And he's evaluating it because sometimes the most important player for this to go right wins out, and it's really one against 52, and you do what's in the best interest of your potential franchise quarterback. But I think Robert Saleh looked at this and said, well, that guy, I don't know if he is the franchise quarterback. He's not playing well, and he's causing problems in the locker room, so I got to side with the locker room on this one. And the other part to this whole equation and situation is now, what happens and how does Zach Wilson handle it? Like, he said all the right things today. He came out, he said he needs to be better, he needs to handle the situation, all the backlash was deserved. But is that just in the moment because you lost your job? Or are you going to have a chip on your shoulder, which you should have, but is that chip on your shoulder going to affect your ego and say, oh, I'm the man, the Jets are stupid, this is an incompetent, bad organization, and they're screwing me over? And time will tell how Zach Wilson handles this. But I was surprised, but I also give credit to Robert Saleh because he made this move today knowing that there was a risk. He could, if he doesn't do anything, lose the locker room, or if he does do something, he may lose a guy that they just drafted with the second overall pick at the quarterback position 2 years ago. It's not even two full seasons into his career. And if Mike White plays well, how don't you play him the next week? Because we've seen, right, in other situations, like, look, on a smaller scale, the Washington Commanders. Taylor Ham Heineke is not playing this great franchise-level play at the quarterback position, but he's winning games. And the locker room believes in him. Carson Wentz has more physical tools. Carson Wentz, even though I don't love him as a quarterback, when you look at him on paper, probably is a better quarterback than Taylor Ham Heineke. But he doesn't know how to connect with the guys in the locker room, Carson Wentz. And that's been documented in Philadelphia and Indianapolis. And he's not winning games, and he's not playing great, and he's 2-4. And it just shows you a little belief when everyone can get on the same page in a 53-man sport. If you have that belief and you have that continuity, you may not win a Super Bowl because of it, but you'll win more games. And if the Jets defensive players are really that annoyed at Zach Wilson, which I think they are, Mike White still got to make the throws. But having everyone be on the same page may benefit the Jets. And probably the craziest part of this all, Ryan, because there's been years where the Jets have been the punchline to every joke. There's been years where we say, hey, Ringling Brother and Barnum Bailey Circus may have shut down, but the Jets are always open. The Jets are actually having a good season this year. They're at 6-4. I know Wilson missed the first few games of the season, but ever since he's returned, he has not played great football. Maybe other than that Buffalo game, there's not a lot of moments that you latch onto and go, wow, he's the guy. And when you're not providing those moments and you factor that in with your acting petulant off the field and not taking accountability, that's how you lose your job. Because the Jets want to give Zach Wilson every opportunity. But when you don't take accountability and you start to cause a divide in the locker room, you had no other choice. So I'm surprised by it. But I also commend Robert Saleh. I didn't think he'd be willing to go to this level, but now there's a big-time message to Zach Wilson, and we'll see when Zach Wilson or if Zach Wilson gets an opportunity to get his job back, how he's going to handle this. Because if the Jets start running off a few wins with Mike White, I don't care about the feelings of Zach Wilson. I don't care if you used a second overall pick to go get Zach Wilson. You got to do what's in the best interest of the football team. Sometimes that doesn't happen when you're talking about the franchise quarterback. But today, Robert Saleh, Woody Johnson, Joe Douglas said, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the football team, regardless of how much capital and how much of an investment we've already made in Zach Wilson. So, Hickey, give me your thoughts on this, because I was surprised by it today because it was a move that a lot of people said was obvious, but sometimes in the NFL, what's obvious doesn't end up happening.
It's the right move. It's absolutely a great move because Zach Wilson was 0-2 in terms of deserving a start. He didn't have the locker room. Like I said, he threw him under the bus, or really did not take accountability is maybe the better way to say it, after his awful performance against the Patriots. And basically saying, like, it wasn't my fault. Or
awful doesn't do justice. Putrid, embarrassing, laughable performance.
Absolutely. So not only did he not have the proper leadership from the position you absolutely need the most leadership from, his also play didn't warrant him playing. Like, it's one thing if you are a bad leader, and we have seen quarterbacks get away
and
with
it. And Hickey knows what he's
so
talking
good.
About because he has dealt with a lot of bad quarterback play with his team.
Carson Wentz
years.
Has not been, let's say, called the best leader. I think Aaron Rodgers this season, especially, his leadership is coming into question. But when you're good enough and you make the throws on Sunday, that kind of goes away, and people like to forget, oh, okay, fine, whatever he says during the week, but he can make throws on Sunday. Zach Wilson was not doing that either. Even though the Jets are 6-4, he's not the reason why they're 6-4. The one game, the best game of the year he had, you mentioned the Bills game, that was more him getting out of the way. Like, it's not like he won the game.
He managed the game.
300 yards, right, and 3 touchdowns. Kind of got out of the way, didn't turn the ball over, and the Bills had a really bad game. So his play didn't warrant him starting. His attitude and leadership didn't warrant him starting. The writing's on the wall. Good for Robert Saleh for, like I said, making a tougher move considering how fast it is for a 2021 number 2 overall pick. But is either you risk alienating Zach Wilson and upsetting him, or upsetting the other 52 guys in the locker room.
Now, will you agree with this statement that I made earlier? If after the game he just owned it and said, I was horrible, I need to be better, and I will be better in the future, do you think he's starting on Sunday against the Chicago Bears?
Yes.
Okay, so we're in agreement there. And that's, to me, when Zach Wilson puts his head on the pillow tonight and he looks up at the ceiling, I hope he's saying, man, I bleeped up. Not blaming it on someone else. All I had to do was give the easy answer of I let the defense down and I will be better and I'll put in the work moving forward to change this outcome. Stop right there. Like, that's all he had to do. And I hope that motivates him, and I hope that this is a learning lesson for him. And if it isn't, then he's not going to be the guy for the Jets moving forward. And you're at a crossroads right now if you're Zach Wilson. You were the number two overall pick. Now, you got that first contract, right? You're looking for that second really big contract. And if you win in New York, you'll be a legend forever. But if you don't handle this the right way, you will quickly get run out of town. And this is a moment where Zach Wilson needs to grow up and needs to be a perfect leader moving forward, or he will not be in the long-term future of the New York Jets. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. Do you think the Jets got it right today by telling Zach Wilson, we're not starting you, we're not even making you active for Sunday up against the Bears? 855-212-4CBS. New college football playoff rankings did come out last night. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be out after this weekend? We'll discuss.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Well, that all sounded great until Tennessee decided to get smacked by South Carolina over the weekend. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Last night, college football playoff rankings did come out. Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, TCU 4, LSU 5, USC 6, Alabama 7, and then Clemson in at 8, and that's kind of where we're going to draw the line in the sand right now. Hickey, did anything surprise you from last night when looking back at the college football playoff rankings?
Yeah, I don't understand why Clemson's behind Alabama, that's for sure. Two-loss Alabama team that does not have an impressive resume versus Clemson's not much better, but at least they beat the teams they've played.
But if that's what we're arguing here, nothing really major surprise. Because do you think Clemson has a big chance to make the college football playoff? The only way I think they have a shot, and I guess it's realistic in some capacity, but maybe a stretch, Georgia we know is in. The winner of Ohio State, Michigan is in. You're going to need TCU and USC maybe to go down, or just one of them, I guess, for
just
Clemson
one.
To get in?
I think Clemson's getting in.
Do you?
Look at it. Look at the path. Georgia's in, assuming they could beat LSU, which obviously you're going to need, which most likely happen. Winner
and
of Ohio
week,
State,
to
Michigan
be clear,
in.
Just real quickly, we said there was a door open for Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
Was our big reaction on Monday. But is that see, here's the thing, though. When you have times in college football with these rankings, like, for example, if USC wins out, they're going to get in. Right now, they're ranked at 6. I think the College Football Playoff Committee, with their rankings, they leave a door open, and then they try to create some drama. And that's why I think, whether you like it or not, and you could argue that that's not how it should be done, that's why I think they put Clemson at 8. I got to think if Clemson wins out, they'll have a better chance to get in than if Alabama doesn't lose another game, which there's only like one more game left in their season anyway this weekend. But I would think that the odds of Clemson getting in would then jump Alabama's. We got to remember this weekend's ranking.
You give them a chance?
What?
Alabama getting in.
No, that's not what I just said.
No, I'm just making sure. Like, so you're saying they jump ahead of Alabama.
But I will
tell
you.
0% chance getting in.
I had a buddy in town last night who also works at another radio network. And I was just getting his thoughts of the college football playoff because I hear your thoughts all the time. I know what my thoughts are. I know what the thoughts are of everyone pretty much in this office. And he brought up Alabama. He goes, I still think there's a chance that they could get in. That's what my buddy said. I just thought it was interesting. He lives in Texas. I thought it was interesting that there are a lot of people that still think Alabama can get in. Like, what's the road for Alabama to get in would probably be this, Hickey. First off, they have to beat Auburn. We know that. But after that, for them to get in, I would say, you know, Georgia, you know, Ohio State, Michigan's in. TCU would have to lose. LSU would have to not win the SEC championship. USC would have to lose. And then I guess that's all hell breaking loose, and that would open up the door for Alabama to get in. Now, I'm with you. I've watched Alabama all throughout the year. Other than Bryce Young, this is not a great Alabama team. I know Will Anderson Jr. is a very good player too, but this is not your normal Alabama team, and they lost to Tennessee. They lost to LSU. They did not play great against A&M. They did not play great against Texas when Quinn Ewers got hurt. I guess there's a path still open is the way to say it if all hell breaks loose, but for every one of those scenarios to go down, I don't think it's very likely.
I mean, I'm just trying to think. I guess the only way they get in is if Ohio State, let's say, throttles Michigan, like 40-0, yeah, blows them out of the water. You have TCU lose probably twice.
No, I'd
you
say
lose
just
this
once.
Weekend and next week. I think so. One loss TCU would get in over Alabama.
I think what the committee's been saying all throughout the year with how much in the last few weeks it had to make them really climb up, I think TCU is going to have to be undefeated to get in. If it's up to me, I think TCU right now on paper obviously has a better resume than Alabama. But I think if TCU has one loss, they're going to be out.
When it comes to just, again, strictly Alabama versus TCU, I think TCU would have to have two losses in order for them or to get jumped by Alabama.
Okay, well, agree to disagree. I disagree with that.
USC needs to lose one more game. You need Clemson to lose another game. Mm-hmm. Like, you need, I mean, then
well, let me
probably
ask you this.
Hell to open up.
Let's say Ohio State slams Michigan. Like, let's say Corum isn't healthy, gives it a go, but then he has to leave the game. So, Georgia, Ohio State in. TCU with the loss. LSU doesn't win the SEC championship. Let's say USC doesn't win the Pac-12 championship. And then Clemson will win the ACC. So Clemson then will probably get in. And then maybe Alabama ends up being your fourth. Now, I don't think Alabama should get in. I don't think all those things are going to happen. But there is a path, I guess, still open for Alabama if all hell breaks loose. Like right now, if I had to ask you for your four teams, let's take it through this way. We all know Georgia's in, regardless if they win the SEC championship or not, right? You could agree with that. We could agree on that.
Yes, unless they lose the next two games.
Ohio State and Michigan. Who wins?
I will go Ohio State.
Wow, after the last 3 weeks, you've been Mr. Michigan, Michigan, Michigan.
Don't like the Blake Corum injury.
And
not at all.
I saw that he was doing a turkey drive through his NIL deal a few days ago, yesterday, and he said that he was going to play. I was reading that online. Now, Harbaugh did not say if he was going to play or not, so maybe there's some games there, but how effective is he going to be? I think this is going to be a coin flip of a game because of the uncertainty with Blake Corum. I would lean Ohio State right now. So that means Georgia and Ohio State are in. Is TCU going to run the table in their next two games?
Yes.
Okay, so then they're in. Is LSU going to be your SEC champion?
No.
I would agree with that. Is USC going to run the table?
No.
Wow. So you think they're going to lose this weekend to Notre Dame or in the Pac-12 championship?
Yes.
Okay. So if that's the case, you're then going Clemson wins out and gets in?
Yes.
Okay. Here's my four in the way that I think it's going to go. I think Georgia's going to win. Right now, I would lean Ohio State getting in over Michigan. I do think TCU runs the table. And where we disagree, after winning that game last weekend against UCLA, and I thought USC was going to lose going in, I think USC is going to have, even though their defense concerns me, now their defense made a nice play at the end of the game, but it was a 48-45 game. But with USC winning last week, I think they have enough offense, and Caleb Williams right now is the favorite to win the Heisman. I think they will beat Notre Dame, and then my question is, do they survive in the Pac-12 championship? I think the Pac-12 championship for me is more a concern for USC than Notre Dame. I'll say they win the next two, and then USC does get in. So I think your college football playoff right now on this Wednesday is going to be Georgia, Ohio State, TCU, and USC. That's the four that I'm going to roll with. But Clemson, no, there's a door open. You're not wrong on that. Do I think that they're going to be, put it this way, is there a desire for you to see Clemson in the college football playoff this year?
Desire,
because
no.
There's a difference on who you think will get in and then who you want to get in.
Yeah, I don't think they're very good, but
no, I agree with you.
The path is open right now because everyone else is losing.
So we already know they're in the ACC title game, and UNC knew that heading into last weekend. UNC lost to Georgia Tech. That was a terrible performance by UNC. Now Drake May's not even going to be a Heisman finalist. The team, though, that had a big-time statement last week against Tennessee was South Carolina. South Carolina plays Clemson. I look at Clemson this year as not being this great team. They have a really good defense offensively. I like their running back, but the quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, I can't really trust. Why do you think Clemson beat South Carolina this weekend? Just wondering.
South Carolina just kind of everything go right last week. Like they're not a very good team. And sure, like it's when everything clicks, they could put up 62 points like they did. Now Clemson's defense is 10 times better than Tennessee's. And South Carolina's shown you this year through 10 games before last week, they're inconsistent at best. Like Spencer Rattler had 8 touchdown passes coming into that game. Then he threw 6. I don't think you're going to get anywhere near a repeat performance. I don't think that offense is going to be anywhere near as deadly. And Clemson, again, Clemson's defense is really damn good, unlike Tennessee.
What would be the order of your four teams? What would be the matchup?
Georgia, Ohio State, TCU, Clemson.
Georgia, Ohio State, TCU, and Clemson. I think Georgia would blow out Clemson. That would cause a few problems for Stetson Bennett, but I think DJ Uiagalelei would just get eaten alive against that Georgia defense. And then in TCU, the 2-3 matchup's really going to be the good matchup this year. But for me, mine would be Georgia 1, Ohio State 2. I think TCU will be undefeated, so they'll be 3, and then I'll put USC in at 4. I would think Georgia-USC has potential to be a better matchup than Georgia and Clemson, but if you don't believe USC is running the table, then I'm not going to have you put them in as your college football playoff because one more loss, they would be out. And I think Ohio State or Michigan against TCU would be a fun 2-3 game as well.
Especially if it's Ohio State, high-powered offense versus high-powered offense.
Asking for much. Can we just get one good semifinal game this year? I'm just asking for one. If we get two, I'll be like a fat kid jumping up and down in a candy store. This is why I hate this talk of college football playoff expansion, because imagine if we need to see 12 teams this year. Ugh, some of these teams, they've already shot themselves in the foot. And every year we have to beg to just see or hope for two potential matchups when you get into the college football playoff. There's no, like, imagine this year if we had, I know you're pro-expansion. I know you have dug your heels in so deep about this, Hickey. Imagine having to watch some of these other teams once the top four does come out at the end of the year, because some of these teams have clearly displayed the last few weeks that they just don't belong.
I mean, if you want to watch good games, though, expanded playoff will give you better games
but
than what we've seen in a four-team playoff. Well, you're playing. It's not pointless. It's meaningful. If it's
no,
a playoff game, it's meaningful.
Like Penn State right now. They're 11. You watch more Penn State football than anybody.
They would play LSU.
State go into that college football playoff and go, oh, wow, we got a chance? Like, as a Penn State fan, do you think they would have a chance?
No. I mean, I think Georgia's the best team in the country.
Yeah,
but it's
so
like
it's pointless.
you win a playoff game, you get hot at the right time. Like, we don't do this in, what I don't understand is we don't do this in literally any other sport about teams only having a chance to win a championship.
Well, the other sports are professional sports.
But the playoff formats are all the same except for college football, and everyone freaks out. Like, God forbid we allow a team that is not championship worthy to compete for a championship.
It's the fewest amount of weeks, though, because you're working with a college schedule as well. So you don't have 17, 18 games where there's going to be more deserving teams get in. That's what makes the regular season so awesome and so important. And a team like USC, if they want to get in, they got to win out. They were allowed one mulligan where they lost the game by 1 point. You know, you look at LSU. If LSU wins an SEC championship game and doesn't get in, they're bitching at the end of the season. Well, don't lose early on in the season of Florida State and then get blown out by Tennessee. Tennessee had a shot. Then they lost. They lost 2 games, so they're not deserving. It usually evens out where the teams that you think are really good either show that they are and they get into the top four, or their warts get exposed, and they don't find a way to make the college football playoff. My thing about going to 12, and I'll wave the white flag, I know it's going to 12. I know that expansion is coming, but to go to 12 is for one thing and one thing only. It's because of money. It does not improve the quality in the sport, and if they're going to expand, I would go to 8, but there is no way whatsoever I would want to see them go to 12, but I already know that that's happening, and the absolute latest that's going to happen is 2026.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Hickey, I have a big time problem. I have all the food for Thanksgiving in my fridge, and I was staring at it all day. Do you know how much mental toughness and intestinal fortitude it took for me not to start putting my fingers in the cake, start picking at all the meats and the cheeses and the lasagna that's been sitting in the fridge for the last 24 hours? And I just can't wait for Thanksgiving to be here tomorrow, because it is not good for my mental health to have all that food in the fridge knowing that I can't touch it, because if I touch that food, then I could ruin Thanksgiving.
It's like a dog, you know, when you hold a piece of food or like a dog treat in front of his face, say, don't eat it for a while. It's tough. It's tough. So I'm glad you got through.
What dogs do you know that when you put food in front of him and go, don't eat it, the dog actually listens? Like my dog, may she rest in peace, that I had grown up as a kid, if you put food on the floor, you could say, don't touch the food. It's running over and saying, bleep you, you'll still give me another treat later. I'm eating the food.
Self, I give you a lot of credit. I don't know if I'd be that strong. Wouldn't touch a turkey. I know there's no turkey in your fridge, but icebox cake.
Are you also anti-turkey?
Yeah, I don't like turkey.
Oh, look at
not
that.
Not a turkey guy.
That's the first good food take I've ever heard you.
I don't know about that.
No, it's true.
Come I don't
your
know
food
that.
Takes have been horrible.
I would disagree.
You've
but
dated a girl that used to make charcuterie boards for a living, and you never even liked the board she was making.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I'd put her out of business myself if that was the case.
No. But that is a poor reflection on your taste buds. A brutal reflection on your taste buds. By the way, I'm probably burying the lead here since I mentioned my family. My sister gave birth this morning, so I am now an uncle. Congratulations to Erica and JD. They had a healthy baby girl in the early hours of the morning. I think the baby was born 4:44 a.m. Eastern, and it's a healthy baby girl named Raquel. So we are very, very happy on the Gelb Spergel whole front, as that's my brother-in-law's last name.
Is that a new word for family? Like,
no.
Spergel, like, is this like a new word for family I never heard of?
And I think it's actually Spurgel. I always mess up the last name.
Oh, gee.
The last name I always mess up. I just can't get his last name right. I don't know why.
Spurgel, congratulations.
That's why I say it quickly.
Now, I mean, not to also bury the bigger lead, week late.
Whoa! Oh, man, you just put me in a tough spot.
You don't have to comment. Congratulations. It's a happy day. It's a great day. It's a great day.
So the baby was supposed to be born on the 17th. Or not. That was the due date.
Right.
Right? It's give or take, right, a little bit.
And obviously, you know, rooting for a little bit, maybe even 15th. Would
yeah,
be the worst
I was
thing.
Rooting 14th? For anywhere between the 14th to the 17th, because my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, they moved out to Colorado right when the pandemic started. They have a nice house, you know, living out there, all great. My mom and my dad have been out there, so that has kind of basically made me an orphan for Thanksgiving a little bit in my inner circle. And then I have to tell my grandma and my grandpa, who already like just canceled Thanksgiving, my aunt and my uncle. And my other aunt and my uncle, they were like, we're not going to do it. I was like, no. I was like, Lee Corso, put on the headgear. Not so fast, my friends. We are doing Thanksgiving. But my dad bought 2 plane tickets, and if the baby was born on the 17th or earlier, he would have come back. The fact that it was born after the 17th, he will be in Colorado for Thanksgiving. And can I be honest with you? Can I just...
Oh, sure.
Peel back the curtain a little bit.
This is a trust tree here.
You would think my mom and my dad would be in like the greatest mood today, right? First time grandparents. My mom goes to me, your father's a little crabby today. And I go, I know why he's crabby. He wanted to come back for Thanksgiving. Hey, clearly he's thrilled. He's, you know, big time smile. I FaceTimed with everyone today. Got to see the baby. Beautiful baby. But I think that he wanted the best of both worlds. First-time grandfather, but I think he wanted the baby before the 17th.
To try, in an effort to bail your father out here, not that he needs my help.
Well, Thanksgiving's the biggest holiday in our family.
Was he just tired? And you said so Colorado time was like 2:45 a.m. local?
No. So my dad and mom were staying at my sister's house, My sister went into the hospital yesterday early in the morning. Like, I'm talking on Tuesday early morning. And then the baby did not come until 4:44 a.m. Eastern.
So they were...
They did not go to the hospital until this afternoon. They weren't allowed in until this afternoon.
Okay, so they weren't up all night waiting patiently.
Up all
okay.
night? Yeah, no.
I was going to say, that could be a reason for crabbiness.
No, but... no. My dad being crabby, give me another day that ends in Y. All right?
I hope he's not listening. Mr. Gale, hopefully you're out enjoying the beautiful Colorado weather.
Yeah.
And your beautiful new granddaughter.
Yeah, well, for sure. Well, the baby's still in the hospital, yeah.
Oh,
you got to have some time.
Well, I'm trying to help here. Just anything but listen right now. Last 5 minutes to make it even more crabbier.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So once again, congratulations to Erica and JD. And I am an uncle as we have baby Raquel now into the family. I got to spoil the baby, right? Hey, well, here's the difficult thing. And we'll blow off the news brief. We'll do it later on in the show. So my sister and her husband now living in Colorado. I would love to hear your thoughts on this real quickly. He grew up as a New York sports fan. Now, I've always made jokes. He even said to me, you better not send a Patriot shirt because I'm throwing it in the trash. So I know that I'm not going to win that battle. The baby's not going to become a Patriot fan. But if you're living in Colorado, and if that's where they bought a house, so if that's where they plan to live the rest of their life, like that, I don't know. But would you raise your kids as Colorado sports fans, Broncos, Avalanche, Nuggets, if, let's say, the baby wanted to become a sports fan, would you raise them as Colorado sports fans because that is what is now home? Or do you go what is by your roots of whatever your dad or mom, in this case, were fans of?
I would go roots. So if I was living in Colorado right now, I would say Mets, I would say Rangers, Knicks, Colts, Penn State, let's go. And fight my damnedest to fight off the Broncos and the Rockies.
I don't think you have to really
Nuggets.
Be worried about the Broncos because Russell Wilson's there for the next 7 years, the formative years of life. So the early
yes.
where you make an impression in the sports world. And I don't think he's going to have turn around and be this great quarterback again.
I don't
soon.
Think Broncos country will be getting another fan.
But now the
soon.
Avalanche coming off a Stanley Cup, going to be great again. Nuggets have been really good, and we'll see how much longer. Right, Nikola Jokic is playing at an elite level. You got to think for at least 5 more years, bare minimum of he being this great dominant force. That's a tough one because you want to be able to, like, it is cool in hockey when my dad, my uncle, and yours truly are able to bond over one team in the Rangers. And then my other uncle and my cousin, we bond over the Patriots. So it's good to have that family just bonding where you all share the same team and then like you're having conversations about that. But then the geography of it, if let's just say those teams continue to be good or even not, like, I don't know about you. Do you love going to games when your team's not playing in it? And then if that's your backyard and the Broncos have a big game and you're a football fan and let's just say your team stinks, it kind of stinks that you didn't pick the hometown team.
Yeah, but also roles reverse too. Like you mentioned, you know, if Russell Wilson just doesn't turn around, the Broncos stink. And let's say, you know, selfishly for me, the Colts turn around. It's a lot easier to root for the Colts, even though you're in Denver, compared to rooting
the Colts turning it around.
The Broncos who stink.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Why?
You're already talking about the Colts trading for Trey Lance or Zach Wilson today. I love how quickly you were able to move on from the crappy quarterback situations that you approve of, and then it's, all right, on to the next. You are the guy that dates a lot of girls, and once the girl breaks up with you, forget about it, on to the next. There's no pity party. There's no few days of being upset about it.
What do you want me to do? What do you want to do? You want to mourn in Matt Ryan's
but
downfall?
You were the biggest advocate for Carson Wentz. Then you wanted Baker Mayfield. Then you were okay
That's
with
right.
Matt Ryan. And now you know that you need a quarterback. I thought you were all on board for being horrible and trying to trade up in the draft, even if you're not that bad. Oh, you team, other teams, the Chiefs traded up, the Bills traded up. So even if our record's not that bad, we could still trade up. That's what I thought you were. And now all of a sudden it's, oh, yeah, let's go get another team's garbage and Zach Wilson or Trey Lance.
First of all, all I did was ask a question.
You
I
want
am
Zach
extremely
Wilson.
Anti-Zach Wilson. I want nothing to do with it whatsoever. Trey Lance, I'm all in on. Honestly, if you're not going to get Bryce Young and that ship, you talk about moving on. I have moved on from Bryce Young. and had a fantasy for like a half second.
Oh, can I get an apology? Can you take some accountability when I told you there was no chance the Colts were getting Bryce Young?
When you're playing Sam Ellinger.
And you told me I was an idiot and a moron and a dope.
First of all, I don't even know if we had this conversation.
Yes, we did.
Second of all,
we did.
When the tank conversation was
no
on.
Accountability, you baby.
They had Sam Ellinger playing, and he was terrible. So I thought there's a chance they're not going to win another game. And they went back to Matt Ryan.
I told you
now
they
you're
were
4-6 and 1. You are the Colts are in the worst spot possible in the middle. So I have unfortunately have waved goodbye to Bryce Young, and unfortunately we'll see that dream vanish. So I don't like any of these other quarterbacks right now. Hendon Hooker tore his ACL. Who the hell knows what's going to happen there? I'm in on Trey Lance. I'm in. Sue me. I'm not in on Zach Wilson. I move on fast. What
you
do you
know
mean?
What's going to happen?
Do you want me to hold on?
You know
for,
what's going to happen?
To no hope.
You know what's going
to
happen?
I'm not doing that.
It's the guy that you criticize. It's the guy that you don't want that ends up going to be the star.
Don't you dare.
And you know who's going
to
be the next Colts
don't
quarterback?
You dare.
Friend of the show.
Number one overall.
Put the mayo
so
in the coffee.
Don't have to worry about that.
Put the mayo in the coffee. From Penn State, now at Kentucky. Next Colts quarterback. Your guy. Our guy. That's who it's going to be. Will Levis. Come on, Hickey.
Great guy. He's a tremendous guest.
Lose for Levis.
I do not want Will Levis. I'll keep it at that.
Why not? He's a Penn Stater.
Was a Penn Stater. And I enjoy his time there. But he is a battering ram. Nothing more.
You know, the guy that you don't want, even if it's not Levis, there's going to be a quarterback. You're like, oh, this sucks. Well, maybe not, because you are sometimes like a sycophant for the team. And then they do I love. But the one time you actually have an ounce of criticism of the quarterback that they bring in, that's going to end up being the guy. For the Indianapolis Colts. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Leroy Horde next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.